This morning I looked up the last date that I gave my testimony here in the pulpit, and I think it was the 10th of March, 5 years ago. And to be honest with you, I thought that would be the only time I'd ever have to do it in my life. But I was proved very much wrong, as you can see tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, would you open with me, please, in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, just to read a few verses. Philippians chapter 2, and we're commencing to read at verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And we know that God shall add a blessing to the reading of his own precious word. Could we just bow our heads for a word of prayer, please? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for thy love and for thy goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us so much that you gave yourself for us on the cross of Calvary. And Lord, we just thank you afresh, Lord, for that precious blood, that you died once for all and to cover all sin if it's confessed before thee. We pray, Lord, you just bless and undertake now for this time of testimony. Pray, Lord, you'd help me to honour thee in my life. For it's in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, I wasn't born into a Christian home. I was born into a good home. And my father and mother, like so many other people in this country, sent us faithfully to Sunday school each Lord's Day morning. Unfortunately, the Sunday school that we went to didn't preach the gospel, didn't teach us that we needed to be saved. Not long after that there, at the age of four, my father and mother, and the family moved away from the town, and we went around a few different towns because of my father's job. But whenever I was about 10, we came back to the town again, and I started coming back to the primary again in Macrofelt that I'd started off in. And from there I went to the high school in Macrofelt. Whenever I got to the age of 12, my dad and mum started attending the Baptist church here in Macrofelt, and I started to go along as well. Mummy and daddy came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour, and at that time there I was attending faithfully with them each Lord's Day night. Pastor Hamilton Moore was the pastor of the church at that time, and he faithfully preached the gospel, telling us all how you needed to be saved if ever you were to get to heaven. And even at the age of 12, you know, a lot of people would think, well, you haven't got mixed up in the things of the world. But even at that early age, it says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And, you know, just like anyone else, even that was older in the world, I still had sin in my life. I needed Christ to remove that sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. We had been attending the church for a few months, when on the 1st of August 1970, I asked the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart to be my Saviour and my friend. And I remember I did that one night in my bedroom, and I came straight down the stairs, and my mum was ironing downstairs, and I told her right away what had happened. I told mum I'd asked Christ to be my Saviour. It's always good to confess the Lord Jesus Christ as soon as possible, and I had done it just within a few minutes. And I know the Lord blessed and honoured that. From then on, I'd been through my time of high school. And whenever it came to leaving the high school to think about a career that I had picked out some 2 or 3 years beforehand, was to be trained as a dental technician, to train in dental ceramics. And I headed away to Belfast at the age of 16 to train in my job. It was going to be a 5-year training course. And I had to go away and stay from Monday to Friday in Diggs. Now, that was 1974. And you can be sure in the mid-70s the troubles was very bad in Belfast. I got very much used to hearing bombings and shootings, and that went on most nights. I remember even lying in my bed in my Diggs, and you'd heard shooting away in the background. But I had stayed there and was getting on well with my job. I went to the School of Dentistry. After a short time, I moved to a different part of the city, and I went to stay with a new lady in Diggs, way at the top of the Ormer Road. Now, the second lady that I went to stay with was a doctor's widow, and she never had any children. And whenever I went in to stay with her, I actually become like a son that she never had. And she started to spoil me, which I enjoyed. But unfortunately, there were some drawbacks to that as well. Because every night she was a Christian lady, and of course I thank God for that. And because she was saved, I always had to read the Bible and pray with her every night. Not only had I to read the Bible, but I had to speak for a few minutes on what we had been reading. I wasn't allowed to go out at night. If I had to go out at night, I had to give her a very good reason for it. But whenever it came to a Tuesday night every week, Mrs. McMillan would have taken me very faithfully along to Lurgan Baptist Church to the Bible readings there. And the pastor in Lurgan Baptist Church at that time was a well-known pastor, Pastor Willie Mullen. Now, Mrs. McMillan's husband, had been a doctor before he died. And he was the doctor that examined the missionaries for the Baptist Union to give them a physical check over before they were ever allowed to go to the mission field. Because of that, he was well known in the Baptist circles and in the Baptist Union. Through that there, Mrs. McMillan was very friendly with Pastor Mullen. And every week, whenever we went over, she was always telling Pastor Mullen what I had been doing the week before and things that got there. She told him that at that time I had been in a gospel group, played a bass guitar in a gospel group. She always told him, called it a hallelujah band, telling him that I should be out of this thing. But as I say, I thank God for Pastor Mullen and for his friendliness. I got to know him very well, and I thank God for that. After I did my training in Belfast, I was offered a job in Gormley's in Rennie Street here in Macclesfield. I know it's a well dental place that a lot of people have suffered a lot of pain over the years. But I got a job in Gormley's in Rennie Street. And I went along there and worked for a few years. Not long after I had been there for a year or two, I started up my own business and left Gormley's and started to take off my own business. Things started to go very well. Each month the business was growing and increasing all the time. And then I met Hazel just after I started to come here to the Free Presbyterian Church, and that's about 27 years ago. Now, whenever I started going out with Hazel, there was a bit of an age gap between the two of us, and a lot of people started to say that I was baby snatching. But I just said to them at the time, why take a hen if you can get a chick? And the other advantage was that it gave us all the more time to save up for getting married, because I had to wait till she grew up. But anyway, Hazel and I had been out for maybe 2 or 3 years, and we got engaged. And one night I went up to Cookstown to pick Hazel up from her work. We'd just bought her new home in Thornhill Park in the town. Business was going well. Everything was looking well. 10 months before her wedding. And whenever we were coming out of Cookstown that night, we met up with a serious car accident. That car accident was to change things very dramatically, not only that night, but even up until present. And things just were never the same again. As I was in the car that night, I knew there was something badly wrong. I was numb from the waist down, I had no feeling at all. And I was very concerned. I couldn't get out of the car. And of course it takes a few minutes not there before the ambulance comes. I remember the two ambulance men getting into the car to work with me. One got into the back seat, one in the front seat working at me. And they discovered that they were worried in case I would have had a spinal injury. So they let down my seat slightly, got straighteners in underneath me and connected me up to lift me out in one piece out of the car. Taken away in the ambulance, and we were both taken to Macclesfield and the Ulster Hospital here, where we remained for a while there. After that, whenever it was discovered that things were more serious, then I was been transferred to the Musgrave Park Hospital in Belfast. And during my time there, I was getting a lot of tests done. Now, shortly after that, 10 months after that, we still went ahead and we were married. But for the first year of our marriage, we didn't get off just to the greatest of starts, because for the first year I spent a lot of that time in hospital in Belfast. It certainly wasn't very easy for Hazel, because faithfully Hazel came to see me night after night. But after finishing work, she made her way down to Belfast to see me, and that went on for months and months. About a year and a half after the accident, I had my first operation in Musgrave Park. And after I had the operation, very quickly it was realised that it was a reasonably successful operation. And then I came back, started work again, got the business going again, and things were going well. We were blessed with three daughters, Julie, Carla and Gemma, and I thank God for that. And things were going so well for us for a few years, and then just about 9 years ago, things started to go wrong again. I started to have increased pain, weakness in my back, increased pain down my leg, lost control of my toes and things like that there, was losing control of my kidneys, so I was back into hospital again, into Musgrave, and they decided to do another operation to take the pressure off my spine. Then whenever I got the pressure released off my spine again and got out of Musgrave, we were hoping that things would be okay, but within a few weeks we realised that things weren't as good as the first operation. What had happened was adhesions and scar tissue had grown around the nerves in my spine and were crushing the nerves. Now, whenever they took the adhesions away, they grew back very quickly again. And they realised that if they were to keep going in and doing this same type of operation to take the pressure off my spine, the more they would take the adhesions away, the more they would grow, the quicker they would grow and the thicker they would grow. So they said that they were doing me a favour by not operating in that area anymore. So as things went on, it just kept getting worse. And then next thing, I was sent along to the pain clinic in Coleraine, and Dr. Cooper carried out an operation there. He went in and connected a lead up my spine and came down to the bottom of my back where there was an implant, and then a wire come from the implant round to my stomach. And I worked this with a remote control. Now, I have the remote control here with me tonight. Now, just in case anybody ever thinks I'm sending text messages in church, I'm not. I'm adjusting the stimulator inside my back, just in case somebody thinks I should have more sense. But the stimulator, while it doesn't cure the pain, it certainly can help it at times. It had helped for a while. Then after last June, I think it was, the lead broke in my back. It was actually the morning of the Sunday school excursion. I realised that it wasn't working and discovered that there was a broken connection somewhere. So I'm then to Coleraine again, and I had to do a complete check on my back, check the wiring up my spine and check the wiring round to my stomach, and they discovered where the broken wire was, and everything was fixed up again. Now, even though this stimulator is in, I'm on quite a lot of morphine. I stand here tonight in a lot of pain. A good day to me is just pain that's bearable. There's some days that the pain takes me absolutely to the wire. Sometimes, no matter what medication I have, if morphine gets into my bloodstream 24 hours a day, I take up to 18, 20 tablets most days. And even with all this medication, there's at times the pain is still very hard to bear. But you know, God has been very, very good to me down through the times, even in my darkest times. God has always blessed me and He's undertaken for me. You know, God has said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And indeed, I've tested that and found that very faithful. And as well as that there, I've had some fantastic Christian friends who have strengthened me and encouraged me along the way. Sometimes in your darkest hours, you know, the doorbell will go and there's somebody that has come to see you and to lift your spirits. And that's whenever things can get hard. I'm not going to stand here in the pulpit and say I'm a great person, I can suffer pain. There's times it gives me a lot of problems. And sometimes you can come out and you can bluff it off, but it's not always like that there. But God has led me along, and I thank God for that. I thank God for this church that I find so much fellowship, so much friendship. I thank God for a faithful pastor and his teaching over the 27 years that I've been here. And I thank God also for a faithful youth fellowship children's meeting in Sunday school, and Bible class teachers that faithfully teach my children week after week as well. I thank God for this place. But you know, in the last number of months, things have altered for me as far as the church is concerned. And a few months ago, the Reverend McCrae announced to the church that they'd be appointing two new elders and re-electing some committee again. And you know, whenever it came to the start of the Reverend McCrae preaching for 6 weeks on the election of elders, I'm going to be very honest and say here, I had no interest in becoming an elder, and I mean that in a nice way. Mainly because of the way I was physically, and with mental pressure on me as well through my physical problems, I didn't think it was something that I needed to be taken on. And whenever the Reverend McCrae preached in the first number of weeks, I was enjoying the messages, but as far as I was concerned, those messages were for other people. But one day I was out in work, whenever the Reverend McCrae was coming reasonably near the end of his teaching on eldership, and I was listening to a CD that my brother Mervyn had given me, and on it it came, and the preacher mentioned about eldership and mentioned 1 Peter 5 and verse 2. Now, I, sitting out in work, I didn't know what the verse was, so I thought to myself, I must remember and read that verse later on whenever I get in and home again. Whenever I went to bed later on that night, I had done my Bible reading, praying, switched off my light, and just then I remembered the verse of 1 Peter 5 and verse 2. So I put on the light again and looked it up. And it says this here, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." And right away, you know, this verse absolutely pierced my heart. And I knew God had a message here for me in this. I must have read it about 10 times before I put the light off again. I didn't say anything to Hazel that night, but I must have lay awake for maybe an hour or two thinking about it. In the morning, I opened up my Bible again and looked at the verse. And there again, I felt God was speaking to me through this verse. 2 or 3 hours later, Hazel and I had been sitting in the kitchen taking coffee. And I brought down my Bible and I said, "Hazel, there's something I have to show you." I said, "I believe God has been speaking to me about eldership, about letting my name go forward for office." And I showed Hazel the verse, and Hazel said, "Look, if it's the way that God's leading you, I will certainly support you." And over the next 2 or 3 weeks, it was strange, the next Sunday the Reverend McCrae actually preached on this verse. And I believe God makes no mistakes. But during the time between that and the election, I went through times of doubting, thinking, no, I don't need this. If I was having a bad day, you know, there's no way I was going to let my name stay on the list. I was going to take it off. And yet whenever I went back and opened up the Bible again, I got great peace again. Every time I came back to this verse in 1 Peter 5 verse 2, God gave me a great peace. And that's whenever you know God has a verse that's meant directly for you. So it came in then to the time of the election. I let my name go forward to the congregation, and the church elected David and myself as elders. And you know, I thank God for that position. I still take it on with fear and trepidation, because it is a big thing to take on. But there again, I'm trusting God for the days that lie ahead. And you know, even yet, even in the last 2 or 3 weeks, there's sometimes I still have to go back to this verse and to God's promise to me. But can I just say to you here tonight, especially for anybody that's not saved, if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I thank God that I've proved Him over and over, not only as my Savior, but as somebody that can help me in difficult times, that can lift me up and brighten up a dark day. And I thank God for all His blessings and all His help. You know, it says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That coming short included a young boy of 12 that I was, and it includes you as well tonight. I asked the Lord Then to my heart, are you going to do that tonight and get yourself right with God? It says in Amos 4 and verse 12, prepare to meet thy God. Have you made any preparation tonight? It would be sad that if you were to leave a gospel service and not be prepared and go into a lost eternity in hell. I trust that through these words of testimony that it would be a challenge to you to ask the Lord into your heart. Amen.